This week, a jury of United Methodist clergy found one of their own, the Reverend Frank Schaefer, guilty of breaking his vows in connection with the longtime Lebanon, Pennsylvania pastor having performed a same-sex marriage ceremony for his son. The sentence is a 30-day suspension with some strings attached. Even as several similar cases were working their way through the United Methodist judicial system, other clergy and congregations within the denomination are openly challenging the church's position on marriage equality. Perhaps the most visible was the November 9th wedding of two longtime male members of Arch Street United Methodist Church in Philadelphia, with 36 of the denomination's clergy officiating. Joining me now is the pastor of Arch Street, the Reverend Robin Heinecke, who led that November 9th ceremony. Reverend Heinecke, I know it's been a busy week. Welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you very much.
If you would, just briefly describe the United Methodist Church's official position on same-gender marriage.
Our official position is stated and represented in what we call our Book of Discipline. The Book of Discipline is the place where official statements around social issues, as well as how we organize ourselves, both internally to the church and externally to the world, it is the book that guides us to be evident and unified in our work as the United Methodist Church. It is a living document, though. It is a document that gets amended and changed every 4 years at our general conference, which, when convened, has a little under 1,000 delegates, equal numbers of delegates being lay and clergy, and everything and anything that's in that Book of Discipline is open for change.
Mm-hmm. And you all have already, as the Methodist Church, have revisited this issue of same-gender marriage, and so far it hasn't been changed, right?
That's correct. But it's even more important to understand, it's not only have we tried to change it, but we've even tried to have language included in the discipline that would say that we're a church that is divided on this issue, and that good people on both sides of this question can exist, coexist within our denomination.
Mm-hmm.
And even that kind of statement has been rejected.
Mm-hmm. I wish you would talk about that extraordinary ceremony held in your church on November the 9th.
It was a matter of pastoral conscience. It was an act of providing the liturgy of the church, the Christian marriage ceremony, to a long-time, loving, committed couple who just happened to be of the same gender. Two men, 20-year members of Arch Street United Methodist Church, one of whom was very seriously ill a year ago, and while he was contemplating his life, requested that, if at all possible, at some point, he would love to be married to his 25-year partner, and he would love to be married in the church that he loves.
Hmm.
Little did we know that we'd be able to make that dream come true. And as I said in my homily that day, he could have been wanting to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He could have wanted to say, "Dear God, make me straight so I'll go to heaven."
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. He said, "Let me celebrate the love that I know and the person that God made me to be, and let me do it in my church." And that is at the center of what we did on November 9th. Headlines have said that we were defying the church. That is not true.
Mm-hmm.
We were offering the liturgy and the ceremony and the welcome of the church to fully include a gay couple into the worship of our church.
Robin, I am a pastor myself, and so I am sensing the compassion that I hear in your voice for those two guys and for their desire to have the church bless their relationship. Thinking of myself in your situation, I think compassion would be there. I also think anger would be there in me. I don't know whether that's true for you or not, but is it a mixture of feelings about love for your denomination and also anger at their reticence to move forward?
I don't know if anger is the word for me. I am angry at times. Mm-hmm. I am frustrated at times. I have a mixture of emotions.
Sure.
But the motivating factor for that wedding on the 9th of November was the love and compassion I saw in one of my clergy colleagues, Frank Schaefer, for his own son and his own family.
Yeah.
And everything we did was not motivated by anger at the church or anger at any wing of the church. Our motivation was the love and the grace of God that we believe is all-encompassing and all-inclusive. Yeah. The service itself was a celebration of love, God's love, redeeming, God's welcoming, God's gracious love to every and all people. That was the message that we were sending.
There were other clergy standing with you endorsing that. What is the real risk that the officiating clergy members were taking by being there?
The same risk that Frank Schaefer faced going into his trial, the same risk that he faced in his decision to perform the same-gender marriage ceremony for his son.
Mm.
We risk being the object of a complaint.
Yeah.
And entering into that process, first supervisory process, and then beyond that, a charge that we violated the discipline. One of the tragedies of the trial that we just witnessed was that it was so narrowly focused. No one was allowed to really open up the entire document of the Book of Discipline.
Hmm.
There are, you know, inconsistencies there, and there are opportunities to demonstrate good pastoral care, even in the midst of what others would say is a violation of the discipline.
Right.
It was a missed opportunity in many respects because it could have been an opportunity for real dialogue as opposed to simple ecclesiastical judgment and justice.
Right.
Justice was not served, but ecclesiastical judgment. It could have been an opportunity for the trial court to, among themselves, talk about how this might be a restorative justice opportunity. In fact, the witness, Janet Wolf, so beautifully articulated how the church could have operated in this, and they missed an opportunity to do that.
I know that you were able to be at least at one day of the trial. What was that like?
It was surreal. I mean, to me, it was archaic. It just seemed like, haven't we grown from this? We've learned new ways. Look at the world and the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa and restorative justice that the Mennonites and others practice. We've come so far from just simple, straightforward, oh, you broke a rule and you need to be punished for that. We should be well beyond that.
Yeah.
And for me, that was the real tragedy of that. We didn't call upon the wisdom and the tradition that Methodists say we can call upon to allow the Holy Spirit to move through a situation like that.
Yeah.
We just took the low road and said, just the facts, and don't even think or talk or live into why the facts are the way they are.
As I understand it, the 30-day suspension given to Reverend Schaefer also requires that he renounce his position on inclusive marriage. Am I right that he has said that he will stand his ground?
My understanding is that unless he states unequivocally that he will keep the entire Book of Discipline, then he is being asked to surrender his orders.
Mm.
That's what I understand the verdict to be. There will be a lot of discussion and interpretation of all of that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It seems to me cruel and unusual punishment in that, you know, they're asking him to surrender his orders.
How can this change?
Oh, I think it changes by what we did on the 9th. I think we have to create a grassroots movement. I think laity and clergy and community supporters and allies really need to make it clear that in our context, especially the context of a center city congregation like mine, we need to take the context into consideration.
Yeah.
The other thing is we need to really debate and answer and talk about what's really at the root of this, and that is the great division, not only in our church, but in all communities
right.
about homosexuality or one's gender identity or sexual orientation, because it's clear that the prosecuting side of all of this holds the belief, the unwavering belief, that homosexuality is a sin,
right.
whereas I believe that one's sexual orientation, homosexuality, is part of our very being. It's part of our creative nature. It's who God made us.
Yeah.
And so that's the real question. Do you believe it's sin, or do you believe it's a part of who people truly are by God's making at their birth? And until we are honest enough to ask that question and create what I would call a biased balance, see, part of what I would challenge the trial court, was there a biased balance there?
Mm.
Because the right question, I think, at the outset probably wasn't asked. The question was, do you believe homosexuality is a sin, or do you believe a person's sexual orientation is a gift from God?
Yeah.
And I think if we can honestly start at that place, we know where people are. Mm. That's why that prohibition is in the discipline, because those who think that homosexuality is a sin have been able to muster enough votes to make that statement be there.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of us who have followed medical science, have seen psychiatry move homosexuality away from a disorder into a natural part of a person's being, I mean, all of science and all of our experience at this point, even Governor Christie in New Jersey is saying
yeah.
conversion therapy is not healthy, is
right.
not helpful,
yeah.
and it's harmful. So part of that is where this discussion has to get. And we're not going to get there in legislative sessions because folks just want to cut conversation.
Sure.
We need to create conversation. And that's what the wedding did. The wedding
sure.
created more conversation and has allowed folks who have been relegated to the wings and to the shadows of the church to come out and say, I believe that you're doing the right thing.
Why is this so terribly important to you?
Based on my pastoral experience with folks who have come out to me over the years,
mm-hmm.
over my 35 years of ministry, beginning in college,
mm-hmm.
where friends in college came out and spoke of the isolation and the fear and the heartache that they feared they were giving their parents and giving their friends, and watching folks and pastoring and living out my friendships and my pastoral care over these years, and just seeing people work hard at trying to make change or to hide and to be behind closed doors, and just seeing them blossom when they were able to accept themselves for who God had made them to be. It's based on my experience. It's based on my understanding of good medical science and good psychological science. It's based on my reading of Scripture.
Sure.
I believe God is love. And Jesus really spoke more about greed and how we misuse our resources than he ever spoke about this topic, never spoke about this topic. And if someone disagrees with me, for me, I say to them, this is how I've come to this conclusion. And I give them some very specific examples about people I've known along the way. And I said, this is why I believe. But if you don't believe the way I do, that's fine with me. I can still be your pastor. I can still love you. But if that's a deal breaker for you to be under my leadership or to be in this church, then let me help you find a place where you can get the pastoral care you want and worship the way you need to worship at this point in your life. I am not going to hold you back. I am not going to condemn you for being where you are. But I need you to know where I am. And in fact, every person who comes to me in seeking membership, we have that conversation up front so they know exactly where I am. And if it's not a deal breaker for them, even if they disagree with me, we welcome each other with open arms and we go about our way and do God's work.
The Reverend Robin Heinicke is pastor of Arch Street United Methodist Church in Philadelphia. Even as the issue of marriage equality painfully divides the denomination, he recently officiated a wedding of two men at his church that was co-officiated by over 50 fellow clergy members. The church website offers a moving statement on why they chose to do what they did, and we'll link to that website from stateofbelief.com.
Great.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate your support. My prayers are with you. Continue to offer the grace of God to everyone, regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity. God bless you.